Write Samadhi and Insight in Sayadaw U Kandima. Sayadaw U Sandima, S teaching. After Samadhi, develop Vipassana. This instructional talk was given in 2008 at a 9 days retreat to yogis. It was related to Bhavanga meditation. U Kandima taught 3 ways of developing of Samadhi, i.e., Anapana, scales like Samadhi and Bhavanga methods. This is on the 5th day of retreat. Here are 106 yogis. You have done the practice of from Dukkha Vedana to cut off Tanha. You sat for 3 hours in each section. There was no one moving himself or herself because of unbearable Dukkha Vedana. Among the yogis, 51 yogis saw skeleton. With Dhatu Kamathana, i.e., the 4 great elements, 32 yogis. With 32 part of the body, 3 yogis, and with the loathsomeness, Asubha, 3 yogis. So totally 89 yogis. Here Sayadaw did not mention on the 17 yogis. It was possible that they continued with the contemplation of the mind. The skeleton will not arise by itself. If you want it to appear, you must incline the mind toward the skeleton inside the body. At first, we contemplate the mind, i.e., the Bhavanga meditation in lying down posture. This is because Tanha can come in and stick with the mind. We contemplate the mind to know it as not mine, i.e., as anatta. After some time, the khanda house, i.e., physical body, afflicted with pain and aches. Tanha possesses the mind and desire to move. Do you follow its desire or abandon it? At the time of abandoning it, the lying posture is not easy to make give and take, i.e., for Tanha. And it is also easy to abandon it. It is not easy in sitting posture. I have been told you that Tanha is anatta and this body form, rupa, also anatta. So when Tanha mind is asking for it, and you don't allow it by contemplating with abandonment. So in the process of the following mind, Tanha can't stick with it. Therefore, Tanha is cut off from the process of the mind. Tanha nirodho nibbanam, the cessation of Tanha is nibbana. The mind has no suffering, the dukkha ceases. Even though it has taken 3 hours long sitting or lying down, the mind doesn't want to move the body. This is because free from clinging with ditthi to this khanda, body, as my body. So it frees from Tanha, mana and ditthi. The mind becomes purified. It falls into Bhavanga, i.e., Samadhi, and the mind and body stay by its own, i.e., not mix up together. Don't take it as the mind and body are separate. Don't look at the body and the mind as separate. Originally, they are this way, i.e., by its nature. Connecting the mind and the body is the nature of Tanha. Now they are on their own and not mixing up. This khanda was built by Tanha that when causes are there it will ask for it. The khanda is built by him, Tanha, so the owner appears. Therefore, Tanha is anatta. Knowing it is not atta ditthi and becomes sama ditthi. This is the path mind, magga citta. The path knowledge, magga nana, is contemplating with analytically or discerning. The functional knowledge, kika nana, of truth of the cessation, nirodha sakka, is if Tanha arises and abandons it. The truth of cessation, nibbana, exists. The mind was suffered before by sticking with ditthi Tanha. It's free from Tanha by abandoning of clinging Tanha. No suffering with cessation of Tanha is nirodha sakka. Before is taking it as me. Before it was treated as me. Ditthi me or I-ness falls off by seeing Tanha. Tanha can't stick with it. Free from Tanha is nibbana. If Tanha exists and become dukkha khanda. If no Tanha exists and dukkha khanda ceases. This is nirodha sakka. These 4 noble truths arise. Do you kill it by following it? Or seeing rightly? You know that the 4 elements of the khanda are afflicted, but there is no dukkha, and dukkha is stopped. Before, it was you who wanted to struggle, move and correct it. That was Tanha went and combined with ditthi. It was covered with delusion, moha, and followed by sorrow, lamentation, pain and grief. Asking for change was tana and taking it as me was ditthi. You were happy for a moment by changing it. This is the happiness of worldling, and it'll never end. It needs to be conditioned forever. If no tana and the mind is left by its own, there is no fire of dukkha. You sat for 3 hours, and did the teacher torture you? This is exposing of the tana and contemplating of tana with the path factors, magunga. There are a lot of dharma reflections here. We are fear of pains and attachment to pleasure that will never free from tana and dukkha forever. This is running away from pains which is hatred, dosa, and chasing for pleasures which is greed, lobha. So we are playing hide and seek game all the time with the two extremes of kalesa enemies and becoming a real lunatic. Some of the great lunatics are those world leaders, politicians, some rich people and economists, etc. During the anapana practice when tana comes and grasps the mood and without giving it, instead you send the mind towards the tip of the nostril. It frees from tana and gains happiness. At scales like samadhi you stick the mind with sati to free from sitch and dukkha that tana can't stick to it. Now, you contemplate directly on tana, which comes and pulling the mind, i.e., bhavanga method. This way you see the tana which is the builder of the kanda house. Vipassana yanaka, i.e., insight-based yogis, must see tana first. This may be the reason in vipassana practice, when dukkha vedana arises, it's not allowed to change or correct the body, otherwise, yogi don't know about tana. Whereas samatha yanaka, samatha-based yogis, can change it because of not dealing with tana directly. We can see this point in the following talk. Ukandima's three ways of practice are vipassana yanaka methods. When tana and dosa can't stick to the mind, it becomes purity of the mind. After that, you see the kanda, i.e., paramatta kanda. This is after seeing tana and will see the kanda, with the polluted mind can't see the real kanda. Now the yogis have seen the 32 parts of the body, skeleton and the elements. Could you contemplate anicca, dukkha and anatta with tana mind? Even if you can do it only temporarily. When dukkha vedana arises, it becomes moving and changing again. So tana comes back again. The contemplation is wrong because it isn't free from tana. Here we have to know that some systems, e.g., the Mahasi system, yogi with sati, contemplates whatever distinct at the present moment arising, it is developing samadhi to overcome the hindrances and not vipassana yet. Now here the yogis sat for 3 hours with no desire for changing or moving the body. That is no ditthi and tana. With the desire mind of corrections to kill tana, it'll never end. Now ditthi and tana are fallen away. Tana is abandoned by itself. If you are chasing to kill it, it will become atta ditthi. It comes according to your desire. Here now there is no chasing and killing of tana. You have to contemplate to see it by discerning or analytically. If the following mind follows the desire of the preceding mind, i.e., tana mind, and it falls into tana hand. Now tana can't stay at the kanda house built by him. The kanda house with no tana is happiness. You stay with the happy mind. Worldlings are the opposite, with tana crazy for dukkha, staying with the happy mind is fruition, phala. The path, magga, is seeing tana. The following mind, i.e., contemplate mind, abandons the preceding mind, tana mind, is equanimity of mind toward formation, sankhara upekkha, here refers to tana. The cessation of suffering is nirodha sakka. Staying with the happy mind is fruition, phala. Fruition is the result. The process is sankhara upekkha, gotrabhu, magga and phala. Vipassana yanaka has to proceed in this manner, way. That have to be abandoned first of the coarser tana related to the habit of the worldlings. It's the explosive kalesa which sends beings to painful existences, apayas. Not all the ditthi fall away yet. the way of insight practice appears to yogis. Before, in the anapana practice you sent the mind to the tip of the nostril and dukkha vedana from below pulling it down there. That made the yogis think that dukkha existed in the physical form, body. When it stayed at the nostril, it became happy. Now you know that suffering exists in the mind, when attaining jhana. The mind by itself is not tanha. Mental factor, cetasika, of greed is only tanha. The only function of the mind is simply to know. Tanha goes and combines with kanda. Tanha is the creator and worshipped by man everywhere. The world will never be in peace and harmony. See today's world problems. Now, the yogis contemplate the preceding mind with the following mind of Magunga. The tanha can't associate with the kanda. It abandons by itself and tanha not arise. Is there any dissolution? What kind of rise and fall have ended? The rise and fall of tanha must be ended. Here is different from the mogic system of contemplation. Yukandima's way is directly to contemplate tanha. Even in one of Sayadawji's talks, it mentioned that directly contemplate tanha is better. It seems to me that it may be more difficult. Others are contemplation of kandas, so tanha not arise. The ingu Sayador contemplate vedana, mental feelings, so do not connect to tanha. Closing square bracket. It stays with magga and phala minds. At first, it appears with path mind once and then fruition, phala, minds continue. The mind is not finished. You can't make the mind into ending. If the mind stops, one will die. The kanda process of this life will continue until the karmic result of the past karma is finished. It has been said that it seems similar to let the rise and fall of the mind come to an end. Kanda must exist. This kanda's rise and fall still exist. The mind arises in this kanda, no tanha exists. The rise and fall of tanha ditthi must end. This is practicing the ending of rise and fall of tanha ditthi. This is not a practice to end the anicca of this kanda. Buddha and Arhat still have kandas but no tanha ditthi. To understand this point clear, I refer to study Mogik Sayadawji's talks on Patikasamapada Dharma. Sayador asked one of the yogis who was discerning of the skeleton to get up. All who have seen the skeleton looking at me with the minds as before you discerned the skeletons. Open your eyes and look at me. You have to objectify with knowledge, nana, to reach the internal skeleton. The yogi, a man who was standing, said that he discerned it. Could you objectify it as man or woman? No. It doesn't exist. I only see the bones. Do bones have life and soul? It doesn't have. Do you have any lustful mind on the bones? I don't have it. Do you have any anger after seeing it? No. I don't. You have seen your kanda as bones. Likewise, you also see the external as bones. Are there any two things? It doesn't exist. It only has one kind that becomes one mind. On the seeing object man and woman, tanha, mana, ditthi and all the 11 kinds of fire ceased. It stops at just seeing. Not seeing the skeleton and by seeing the external form with conceptual attention as man and woman wrong view arises and tanha, mana, ditthi kalesa appear. Instead of seeing the skeleton and seeing it as a man, a woman with beauty, kalesa arises. Do you have to chase and kill the kalesa? Kalesa's mind is the result and wrong view is the cause. If you want to extinguish the result, you have to kill the cause. Before, you see it as a man, a woman, lobha, dosa and moha arise, because of wrong seeing. If not seeing as a man, a woman, lobha, dosa karma do not arise. Only seeing as skeleton and defilement of lust, karma kalesa, and ditthi cease from behind. This is not chasing and killing them. Contemplate with inside knowledge to the internal nature of the object of attention, i.e., skeleton, that makes the wrong seeing of ditthi, tanha cease, i.e., man or woman. Because of the object, aramana, and wrong attention, kalesa arises. The way of practicing for Dharma appears. Dittithana end is the ending of rise and fall. The ending of rise and fall is Nibbana. According to the dependent co-arising, it stops as just seeing. Dharma already exists in the kanda. Before, you didn't see it as a skeleton. It was also a skeleton before. Do they have some mind? People can't see the different minds. Ariyans can see the worldlings. In practicing Dharma, Ditthi has to be fallen off first, and Tanha also falls together. Some said that after killing Ditthi and to kill Tanha. That is also true. According to the Buddha and Mogik Sayadaw, the first path, Magga, is exterminated Ditthi, but with this Ditthi, the coarser Tanha which leads beings to fall into apayas also eradicated. For example, from 100% of Tanha, one quarter, 25% of it is eradicated. If delusion, moha or ignorance, sticks with us, lobha, dosa, ditthi, mana and 11 kinds of fire are with it. You don't need to kill them one by one, wholesome and unwholesome are in groups. The mind is purified when it frees from anger, imitation of toad, vimika sutta, and the poison of four vipers, asavijapama sutta, Asavijapama Sutta, SN 35.238 and Vimika Sutta, MN 23. It's also correct in accordance with the suttas. Continue to dig or demolish the ant hill and find a forked path, in Vimika Sutta. This forked path is related to the ways of Samatha Yanaka and Vipassana Yanaka. The yogi has to walk on one of these paths. Sayadaw continued to speak to the yogi who discerned the skeleton. I give you contemplation on the body, Kayanupasana. Does the skeleton have kalesa for you? It doesn't have kalesa. It's calming down the kalesa that called as samatha. The skeleton has the nature of hardness. It's not me and not him. It's the calcium element of stone. Discerning with the contemplation rightly as there is no atta, self, or belonging to self is insight, vipassana. Contemplating it as unstable with dissolution is anicca vipassana. Contemplating it as no essence is anatta vipassana. You can't attain it by making it happen. It's like a cup with water in it. Can you get water with no cup? No, I don't. Some say that samatha and vipassana are separated. It was like the cup and water can't separate. Here samatha refers to jhana samadhi and not include kanika samadhi. Some reflection on jhana samadhi and kanika samadhi. There are a lot of differences and arguments among scholars and meditation teachers on how much samadhi power is necessary for vipassana. In suttas the Buddha refers to samma samadhi as the four jhanas. The commentary also accepts the kanika samadhi and upakara samadhi. The Burmese tradition relies a lot more on the commentary, including suttas, than the Thai tradition, especially the Thai forest tradition. I have never heard a Thai forest teacher mention kanika samadhi. So they took the dry insight system as thinking without samadhi. Here also Sayadaw U. Kandima has the same idea and view. Ajahn Li Dharmadaro, a disciple of Ajahn Mun, was very skilled in samadhi and had psychic ability. He was the one who stayed for a very short period with Ajahn Mun, and was allowed by his teacher to practice by himself in the forest. He also accepted the three types of samadhi for vipassana, see, the heart of the craft. On Anapana Sati even many people have different views and practices. The Buddha Dharma is profound and extensive, not easy to penetrate or justify. In the suttas, the Buddha mentioned two important points in samadhi and vipassana practice, i.e., overcome the five hindrances and develop the factors of enlightenment or the path factors. If the suttas and commentary have differences, always take the suttas teaching as standard. The Buddhist path is not an easy path, and it needs a lot of practice with perseverance, patience, endurance with pains, aches and difficulties. Thi Ingu Sayadaw and U Kandima are very good examples. Some people have perfections in their past lives, and even without a good teacher to guide them, they can find their own way and succeed. A very good example is Guang Qing, old monk who was illiterate like Sun Lun Sayadaw. Sayadaw Yu Kandima is also a good example. Guang Qing, old monk, 1891-1986, born in a poor family in Fujian province, China. When he was 4 or 5 years old, his parents needed money and sold him for a childless couple as an adopted son. His adoptive parents passed away when he was 14 years old. His parents' relatives sent him away, and he had to work for his life at a young age. He was ordained in a Chan, Zen, monastery at the age of 20. He was illiterate that his teacher only taught him reciting Amitabha mantra. Stayed in a cave in a forest for 13 years. After the Second World War, he came to Taiwan and lived as a wandering monk for some time. In 1986, he put down his burdened kanda forever, eternal peace. Before he passed away, said these words to his pupils. No coming and no going, no more business. For most Mahayanists, they like to come and go and have strong bhavatana. Venerable Master had found the pure land and Amitabha in the heart, but for most people they are looking for it outside, which is samsara and will never end. Some of his short teachings. On ascetic practices. On women, living in a cave. Importance of transcending dukkha by practice. How to transcend self-view. The problem of self. On the Diamond Sutra. Importance of right mindfulness, Qian Nian, mentioning many times on Arahants, most Mahayanists don't want to talk about. Mentioning Western knowledge as wrong knowledge. It's quite true. See all the internal and external pollution around the world which can bring the world into destruction. Mobik Sayadawji also mentioned this important point in some of his talks. The differences between Taoist adepts and Arahant. Human world is the main station to other realms of existence. On Western education and knowledge, experience of reciting mantra, absorption in sound, mantra, a Buddhist practitioner born into other religion and what happened to his practice, where is pure land? Master, in the mind, heart. The sixth patriarch Hui Neng also gave the same answer, but most people were looking outside, like the Rohitasa hermit, i.e., as a hermit by psychic power and died, but never reached the end of the world. Later he was born as a deity with the same name. They will only find samsara and dukkha outside the world. Humans are like worms in the pit toilet, clung to unclean worldly pleasures. Born as humans for only practice to transcend dukkha and not for sensual pleasure. Mind is the creator of 31 realms of existence. The purpose of becoming an ordained person, differences between mind and body seclusion, how to use one's own practice in daily life, e.g., like sharpening a razor, on near his death, on illness and how to deal with it, on Master Zhu Yun's life, how to deal with pain. If we look at these lists, the practice of the old master does not look like Bodhisattva path, but is more inclined to Theravada way or the Buddha's way. Therefore, he knew how to end dukkha without a teacher. He had parami and skilled in samadhi. Closing square bracket. Contemplation on the skeleton will become arahant or at least anagami. This was what the Buddha said in the sutta. Some say that this is samatha and not vipassana. Thai forest tradition also use skeleton and 32 part of the body for vipassana contemplation. They do not distinguish between concept and reality because the Burmese concept and reality are not directly mentioned in the scriptures, suttas. Some of Yu Kandima's view is similar to the Thai forest. The wrong view of man and woman falls away by discerning the skeleton, but not forever. Both Dithi and Tanna have fallen, and the doubt of seeing whether the skeleton is a man or a woman has ceased, Visakicca. Contemplating many times on the one Dharma, Ekka Dharma, of the skeleton could become up to arahantship. The Buddha asked the monks to discern the skeleton all the time was to develop the samatha object, aramana. After a while, no development is needed, only seeing the skeleton, in the mind eye. Could Tanha arise by seeing a skeleton? No. This is the cessation of Tanha. We should not be confused by the way of Ukandima's explanation. He uses the four truths to explain Sila, Samadhi and Panna according to its level, from coarse, middle and refined kalesas respectively. Do you have to kill it by action? Only with right view, knowledge by seeing its true nature. In this way, vipassana bhavana increases. The clinging falls away. Now you have arrived on the path, the cause to the cessation of tanha, mana and ditthi. You die in this way at the time of death. If you die like this, the mind will not tire, and you know how to die. Bad mental signs or images, nimittas, can't arise by having the skeleton meditation object, i.e., the moment of dying. You all have the kammas, and kamic results, with you from continual samsara. It's not sure what kinds of kamma will arise. You cannot feel safe with these kammas, good, bad or mixed kammas. Now you get this knowledge sign, nana nimitta, i.e., skeleton, that closes the destination sign, yati nimitta. On living, dying and rebirth. The matters above are very important for every human being on earth. Most people do not know and understand the Buddha Dharma. They do not even know how to live in their present life. So it is more difficult for them to understand how to die. Never mind that they don't know how to die, they don't even want to hear about death, and they are not interested in it. They polluted their minds with worldly knowledge and unwholesome education from many kinds of media. Without the Buddha's noble education, we don't know about the right living, dying, death and rebirth. Therefore, Dharma education is very important for everyone. For most people, dying is also very difficult because very few die smoothly, peacefully without pains and aches. If we check our minds in everyday life with the 12 links of Patikasamapada process, most of our minds associated with the fools of lobha, dosa and moha. Therefore, the Buddha said the frequent homes of the beings are the four painful destinations. With the negative mental states at death, one will get painful rebirths as a result. At dying, the mind is easily playing tricks even to a practicing yogi. Sayadaw Ukandima mentioned his father's story in a talk as follows. After 2 years as monk, his father passed away with illness, i.e., in 1977. It seems to me his father did the practice under his guidance. He also knew his future birth after death and the time of his death. The last time before his death when he met his father, he said his prediction of the time of death was wrong. His father said that it was not wrong because he tried to find out if he could postpone the time for death. Sayadaw asked him to let go, and the next morning he passed away. After some time, his father came to see him as a tree spirit, Rukha Devata. Sayadaw said to him, he thought that he was reborn in the Tusita heaven. The reason he became a tree spirit was his mind was inclining towards Sayadaw during the moment of death, and missed the meditative object. Sayadaw's mother was unlucky, she did not do the practice and after death took rebirth as a snake. Sayadaw's past life was a practicing monk who seemed to be quite mature in his practice. At the time of death, he was not in the jhanic state of mind, so he was born again as a human being. In this talk, Sayadaw mentioned that at near death, died with skeleton nimitta. In Mogik Sayadaw's talks mentioned with impermanence of sign and near death could realize Nibbana. If not possible die with impermanence that's taking rebirth in heaven will enter the stream there, this was mentioned by the Buddha. Here, dying with vipassana knowledge is better than samatha sign. There are a few suttas the Buddha gave instructions to sick or dying monks on vipassana teachings. Therefore, Dharma practice is the only effective way at dying. If you want Nibbana you have to abandon tanha in the mind. How to abandon it? you must contemplate to discern Tanha. Before you abandon Tanha with Sila and Samadhi, i.e., Anapana, scales like Samadhi and Bhavanga meditations. Now you are using Vipassana abandoning of Tanha. So two kinds of abandonment of Tanha appear to yogis. You get the good method for the cessation of Ditthi Tanha. Continue forward of the practice is your job or task, there is no more for the teacher's duty. With the many contemplations, Bhavatabha, Tanha becomes thinner and thinner and at last it'll cut off. This is the same as in Thai forest tradition. You'll know it by yourself and no need to ask anyone. On Samadhi and Vipassana. This is a short talk in connection with the above talk. Here, I just take out the points. Without overcoming, strip off, dukkha vedana, you can't practice Vipassana. Samatha-based yogi, Samatha Yanaka, is like someone who strips off all the skin of a mango and eats the whole fruit. Insight-based yogi, Vipassana Yanaka, is like someone who takes off the skin bit by bit and eats the mango bit by bit. Another example is like cutting a log bit by bit and finishing it. Bhavanga meditation is suppressing Tanha for longer period, Vikambanam. It's only for temporary and will arise back again, i.e., Samatha practice. Therefore, you have to continue and practice the diamond meditation, Mahapalinka. Another way of practice is after attaining Samadhi with the Bhavanga method, continue to contemplate the arising minds, i.e., Sitanupasana. If your success in Bhavanga meditation and you know about the nature of Tanha, continue with the diamond meditation is pulling out the Tanha root and destroy it. After the path knowledge, Magga Nana, and when fruition mind arises, Phala Chitta, Bhavanga vibrates, and it becomes cool and clear. After you get up from the sitting, it continues for some time. Most scholars, especially Westerners, can't accept the view of after the path and fruition minds arise. Only yogis who have experience know about it. In everyday life, when encounter with difficulties and problems by concentrating at the Bhavanga, it becomes cool. This is not mentioned by any of the other teachers. They only mention how to check what you think you have already achieved in the path knowledge, and how to enter the fruit knowledge state. This happens because the fruition mind looks after the yogi by forbidding the rough body and mind state to arise. In this talk, Sayadaw mentioned this experience of some of his students. Sayadaw encourages yogis practice diamond method because it exposes Tanha and the best way to dealing with it, but it was tough and the yogi needs courage, patience, endurance and determination. Differences between Samatha Yanaka and Vipassana Yanaka. In gist, there are two ways to Vipassana process, Samatha-based and Vipassana-based yogis. Samatha means to make the mind calm and peaceful. It's using the objects of peacefulness and calmness for the practice, e.g., color discs. Whatever way Samatha or Vipassana Yanakas, according to the Vimika Sutta, the yogi has to put aside dosa, anger and irritation, which is the toad. With the continuing digging, find two paths. Only after suppressing dosa toad, the yogi has to walk on one of the paths. Without suppressing dosa, the yogi can't do samatha or insight, vipassana. According to Asavijapama Sutta, SN 35.238, the yogi also has to run away to be freed from the four vipers. Samatha means the objects which calm the mind down. Why must the yogi take this object? Before the mind calms down in every sitting, the yogi is oppressed by dukkha vedana from below. It's not peaceful because of dosa mind. What does samatha look like? As an example, you're fighting with an enemy. Before you meet him, exercise your body strength by weightlifting, and then you get strength. You're not meeting him yet, but it's for sure. Before you meet him, you have to develop your strength. Again, you practice martial arts, e.g., kung fu. When you meet the enemy, you are not afraid or terrified. And then you find the enemy and kill him, and you win in the battle, i.e., Tanha the enemy, but modern people worship it. The purpose of practicing samatha is tanha enemy can't be won directly, because it pulls the mind toward dukkha vedana. Thus, it avoids the tanha, develops strength, and then resolves with the tanha face to face. For example, the object of earth disk, Patavi Kasina, may free from kalesa hindrances, and it's a peaceful object. Stick the mind on this object is called samatha object, aramana. During the sitting meditation with the earth disk when dukkha vedana is arising and can't contemplate it. So the yogi has to correct the posture or adjust it and continue the practice. In this way, with contemplation and adjustment of the posture develop samadhi. Teachers have different views and opinions on practice. Some teachers said that the samadhi, i.e., jhana practice can correct the posture when pain arises and is unbearable, but in vipassana should not be correct. Here is Yu Kandima's view. Some teachers said that in vipassana if it becomes unbearable, correct the body with mindfulness. If the yogi becomes tired from sitting, then do walking meditation with mindfulness. This way of practice is related to the Thai forest monks. Ajahn Mun and some of his disciples had done a lot of walking meditation. The yogi has to exercise all the times and not letting the mind goes outward with sati sticks to the mind, object. This is exercising the mind to have strength. This is the way of samatha-based yogi. He has to exercise all the times to make the mind has sati and strength. The main point here is samatha-based yogi can change the postures. Here also making an important point by him is samatha-based yogi should not stay in the cities or in societies for jhana practices. He needs bodily seclusion. Sights and sound are great hindrances for jhana development. Even these hindrances can affect the mind, which attains jhanas and psychic powers. There are many stories from the Buddha's time to present. In Lungpo Tate's autobiography, he mentioned the following story. He stayed in a forest retreat with a small group of monks. He was the most senior one among them. There were two monks who could read or know other minds, Ajahn Chorp and Tan Phra Kuen. Lungpo Chorp was very skilled in samadhi. One time he was traveling in a forest alone at night, to the Burmese border, if my memory is right, with a small candle light. At one place he met a tiger and instantly went into samadhi by standing there. Tan Kuen also had good samadhi, and he said that when walking it seemed his feet were not touching the ground. After some time, some more monks left the area, leaving Ajahn Tate and Tan Kuen behind. One day Ajahn Tate left Tan Kuen alone in the forest, went up to the hill and did his own seclusion. One day a woman and two or three men from a village came to the place, and she flirted with the men. Tan Kuen saw the incident and lost his samadhi. When Ajahn Tate came down from the hill, he told him wanting to disrobe. Lungpo persuaded him in many ways and encouraged him to develop samadhi again. He left him and later returned to lay life. With sati instability and strength, jhanic factors arise. Some take themselves as vipassana yanikas and noting with sati in all postures. Is this vipassana yanika? Noting with sati in four postures is samatha yanika. L don't know where Yu Kandima got his idea and view. The Mahasi system is called vipassana yanika, which seems to come from the commentary. If you practice anapana noting the air at the nostril, but don't correct the posture with lifting, moving, etc. L want you to contemplate on the primary object, mula, kamathana, here anapana. If dukkha vedana arises and moving away from it and contemplate the primary object. For examples, a monk was eaten by a tiger and the monk Tissa who broke his legs with a rock. Both of them did not pay attention to dukkha vedana. Must keep the mind stable on the basic object, i.e., vipassana yanika. If samatha yanika can't overcome pain, he has to correct his posture. With a lot of practice, sati becomes stable in the mind which has strength, and jhanic factors arise. If the mind becomes happy, it doesn't leave the object. The power of piti and sukha. Therefore, the mind is not inclining toward pain down there. Samatha Yanaka has to practice in this way. Here it is good to compare the two strengths of jhana and nana, absorption and insight knowledge. A disciple of Mahakasapa, the power of the fourth rupa jhana. A disciple of Mahakasapa attained the fourth rupa jhana. One day he went alms round and met a woman in his uncle's home. He had lust on this woman and lost his jhana attainment. He disrobed and stayed with his uncle. Furthermore, he was a lazy person that his uncle threw him out, and met with bad guys and became a thief. One day, he was arrested, and the king ordered him to be executed. He was taken to the cemetery for execution and on the way, he met his teacher Mahakasapa, who reminded him to develop his jhana. He attained jhana before the execution. Likewise, he was put on the wooden cross and speared by the executioner. Not only that, but he did not have any fear and pain that amazed the public who came and watched the execution. And he was hit with a sword again, but did not die. Therefore, he was sent back to the king, who took him to the Buddha. The Buddha gave a discourse, and he entered the stream. Later he was ordained again and became an arahant. Novice-uttara, the disciple of Sariputta, the power of knowledge. The youth Uttara was a Brahman and had many good qualities, therefore, well known and praised by people. His news was heard by the minister and also a judge called Vasikara of Rajagaha. He came to Uttara and made an inquiry. The news was true, so he directly made a proposal to Uttara for his daughter's hands. But Uttara's parami was quite mature, and he told him about his intention for living a homeless life to end dukkha. So Vasikara had left with displeasure. Later, Uttara met Sariputta and was ordained by him as a novice at 19 years old. One day Sariputta became ill and Uttara went out in the early morning for alms round to look for medicine for his teacher. On the way he found a lake, put down his alms bowl and washed his face. At that time, some thieves with stolen packages ran for their lives and were followed behind by people. They arrived at the place and threw down the stolen things into his alms bowl. The people following behind arrived at the place and found the things in his alms bowl. They accused him as a thief and sent him to the judge Vasikara. He had a grudge on Uttara and ordered him to death with no inquiry. The Buddha knew all these things, but he could not do anything instantly, so he had to wait for the time being. This outcome came from Uttara's past life evil deed, the karmic result. He was put to death on the cross and suffered with pain. The Buddha came to him and touched his head with his hand, and then asked him to forgive the executioners, the judge and the owners because all these things happened by his past karma. The Buddha was instructing him to cut off attachment to this body and turning his mind toward Nibbana, which was the ending of Dukkha Kanda. With contemplation, the mind had strong piti and entered samadhi, contemplating the kanda with samadhi power developed insight step by step became arahant with six avina. From there he flew back to the monastery by air. The monks asked him how he managed to overcome the pain. He answered that before he had already discerned anicca. Therefore, it was not difficult for him to neglect the pains concentrating on the anicca kanda. From these two stories, we know how the monks above, eaten by a tiger and with the broken legs, overcome dukkha vedana. The Buddha always gave instructions on insight practice to gravely ill monks. Sometimes jhana is not very reliable, and it is easy to lose its power because of the pain of being close to death. See the monks Gaudika, SN 4.23 Gaudikasuttam, and Asaji, SN 22.88 Asajisuttam, in Samyutta Nikaya. Without getting any jhanas by doing anicca, dukkha, anatta is not samatha nor vipassana. If you're still moving and correcting, the body has not attained jhana yet. If you want to cultivate jhanas, you can't stay at a monastery and village, you have to go to the forest to develop it. you can practice it only freeing from disturbances of sight, sound, etc. This is the way of the Samatha Yanika's practice. See the beginning period of Ajahn Mun and his disciples' lifestyle in their biographies. So, here I'll show you the Vipassana Yanika way some of you attain jhana with Anapana. And then Sayadaw continued to talk about Samatha Yanika. Samatha Yanika practice must be complete with jhanic factors, and without it, you can't do the following contemplation of Anicca Dukkha, Anatta. Even after attaining the first jhana, you have to exercise to become skilled for 4, 5, 6 months. He talked about 5 ways of exercising for mastery. 1. Reflect on the jhana factors. 2. Could enter jhana at any time. 3. Come out at any time. 4. Determine to time span. 5. Mastery in reviewing. Only that the first jhana can be stable. Only the mind has stability on the jhana factors, freeing the mind from samadhi. This is called the equanimity of samadhi, samadhi upaka. This is equanimity again on samadhi. I.e., come out from jhana, strip off from dukkha vedana is janupeka. It seems to me this is referred to Vipassana Yanika teaching in his center, coming out from first jhana samadhi and contemplate mind and body, not enjoying in jhana pleasure. Contemplate the jhana mental states or jhanic minds is insight, vipassana. If contemplating the internal candor, it is also insight. This is Samatha Yanika. It's not easy to strip off, come out, from piti and sukha. You didn't have that before and don't know about it. The body flesh is like the smoke and wool of clouds rising up by rapture, piti. It's not easy to control the extreme piti pleasure. You need the mind and body strength to control this samadhi. For example, if you use a new engine in an old car, it won't hold up. The physical body can't bear the strength of samadhi. People nowadays are very weak and cannot establish this samadhi for the elderly. Therefore, it is not easy for people nowadays to develop this samadhi. Sayadaw talked about how to develop jhanas in stages. From the first jhana, abandon connecting and sustaining, vitaka and vikara, and then continue to stay with rapture and pleasure, piti and sukha. It is janupeka, i.e., the second jhana. Have to develop by stages in this way. To overcome delusion, moha, we have to develop sati. Therefore, the Buddha had to teach the 4 establishments of mindfulness. Our true refuge is sati. To attain jhana is also sati. To overcome lobha, dosa and moha is also sati. Absence, void, of sati humans will suffer. Sati can overcome 11 kinds of fire. After sati, the other strength is effort or perseverance, viriya. They are like a sword with its handle. Only then it can strike and cut. Sati equals sword, viriya equals handle. Another strength is faith, sadda. If you have these 3 qualities or strengths, you'll never suffer and fall into painful, apaya, existences. In the 7 groups of the wings to awakening, body pakya dharma, viriya is 9 times, sati equals 8 times, panna equals 5 times, samadhi equals 4 times, sadda equals 2 times, the others are 1 time each. From viriya to sadda related to the 5 spiritual faculties, hence its importance. If no lobha, dosa, moha in the mind is purified and is called citta visuddhi. You can't contemplate insight if the mind is not purified. Even if you attain the first jhana, the mind does not move. It doesn't think about the past and future. The mind contemplates vipassana is not thinking about the past and future. It is free from dukkha and sukha. The mind with rapture and pleasure has no lethargy, and the yogi can sit for a long time. In gist of this talk, Vipassana Yanika does not establish Samatha alone, but together they develop Sila, Samadhi, Panna, and the 4 truths. But the yogi develops the level of Samadhi which overcomes pain, Dukkha Vedana, and doing Vipassana. So Thi In Gu and Yu Kandima Sayadaw's teaching are Vipassana Yanaka way. Therefore, nearly all the Burmese systems are this way, according to Yu Kandima's view. Samatha Yanaka way is after mastering the jhanas as samadhi apeka strip off from piti and sukha. So the fourth jhana is the best way, and contemplate insight to the jhanic minds or to the internal khandhas. On self-mortification and the spirits of the ancient monks. Here L gave a short outline on self-mortification and the spirits of the ancient monks from two of his short talks. Closing square bracket. Some scholar and practicing monks criticized the In system on dealing with Dukkha Vedana as self-mortification. Sayadaw said it was wrong because it was directly face-to-face battling with Tanha Kalesa. He called it as four right striving, Samapadhana. If it was the right way or practice to Nibbana, one must even give up one's own life. Nibbana can't attain by easy way and comfort. It's very interesting. Thi In, Sayadaw and Yu Kandima don't have teachers to guide them. Their patience, endurance, determination and effort dealing with pains and difficulties led to quick success. Nowadays, Yu Kandima's success as a good teacher is his instruction of how to overcome Dukkha Vedana. If you're following the comfortable way of correcting and lifting, or changing the body, it becomes the wrong path, Michcha Magunga. In the world there are wrong path, Michcha Magunga, and the Buddha Dharma of right path, Samma Magunga. In this sense, all worldly knowledge are wrong paths which never lead to true happiness and peace or transcend all dukkhas. Killing the coarser kalesas is practicing Dharma, i.e., temporary abandonment, Tadanga. With the attainment of jhana, samadhi is suppressing it, Vikamhana. After that, complete abandonment is the path, Magga. Vipassana Yanaka is practicing sila, samadhi, magunga and the four truths at the same time. This is the reason why he explains samadhi practice with the four truths. Similar to this kind of explanation can be seen in Mogik Sayadaw's Dharma talks. Any practice which is not in accordance with the Noble Eightfold Path is self-mortification. In worldly life, the search for money with pain, and exhaustion for sensual pleasure are two extreme ways of self-mortification and indulgence in pleasure. This point is good for reflection. All worldly searches are ignoble search. Some criticized Thi In way as rough and tough. It does not like Samatha practice nor Vipassana practice, i.e., doesn't have clear distinction. No one shuns away from feeling. Here main emphasis is pains and aches. One kind of feelings is always with us, pleasant, painful and neutral. The physical body, rupa, is disturbed, afflicted, deformed, changed so that we are not able to shun away from it. Even though we can shun away from it by correcting and changing it near death is impossible. He tells about some ancient monks and their noble spirits, such as monk Tissa with the broken legs, a monk eaten by tiger, a monk bitten by a poisonous snake during the talk, etc. With patience and endurance, they continued their practice without any concern for the body. He also mentioned the modern yogis who come to the center to practice and give themselves much comfort by bringing many things with them. In this talk, Sayadaw also talked about his father's death. This was after 2 years he became a monk. His father became ill, and he told him the day of his death. On the predicted day Sayadaw stayed with him, but on that day his father did not die. So, the next day, he asked his father about this matter. His father wanted to know if he could postpone his death. But Sayadaw urged him to let go of the desire. On the same day, his father passed away. It could be possible because of his practice and strong desire. After death, he became a tree spirit and came to see Sayadaw. Sayadaw thought he would take rebirth in Tuzi to heaven. According to the spirit, while approaching death, his mind flashed toward his son and missed the object of meditation by about 1 second. If no practice, he may become a ghost or animal like the mother. Therefore, at near death, our mind states are very important. if it is possible, a person should not die in a hospital. This person needs a quiet and peaceful surroundings with no disturbances. If we do not practice before we die, it is very difficult to have a good rebirth. Appamadina Sampadeva. Therefore, strive on ceaselessly, discerning and alert. For information on Sayadaw U. Kandima's teaching and retreat, email thingu32@gmail.com. Website www.thingu32.org. Sayadaw U. Kandima wrote about his meditation teaching in Burmese called The Way to Stream Entry. This book was translated into English as Theravada Meditation Art and Methodology. The readers can find it on www.amazon.com as ebook. https://www.amazon.com/ashin-sandamar-honglin-sayadaw-ebook/dp/b07wk7d2qz/ref=monic_sidesheet. Note: if there are mistakes and misunderstandings, it is all my fault. I ask everyone's forgiveness. I hope the lives and practices of these two noble warriors inspire people to end their dukkha in this present life.